Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And it's about the gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. And that idea behind habitation, the Greek word there, it literally means the holy place. So you have the Holy of Holies, and you have the holy place outside of it that has a table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the menorah. The table of showbread has bread, wine, and frankincense, symbolizing Jesus Christ on your right as you walk in. And on your left is the menorah, seven candles representing the seven spirits of God. Spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. In front of you, then, is the altar of incense, the prayers of the saints, and then beyond that is the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. Now, this is intentionally saying we're being built up into this holy place. And I think it's important in the time that we're in right now to understand that we can be secure in that holy place, that God's presence is there. But there is oppression in the outer courts. There is oppression in the outer courts, and the demonic is on the rise right now. Huge uptick recently. And that's because as we move into this time, there will be a stark contrast between light and dark. And so, here in Spokane, we're going to make that contrast even more contrastier. It's not even a word. We're going to rock Spokane this summer. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming. Can't wait to tell you about it. First event, though, is going to be June 11th over in Coeur d'Alene, helping to back up those moms that have come against the perversion in libraries. We need to stand with them. So June 11th, downtown Coeur d'Alene. Also, June 18th, downtown Spokane. And I'm going to mention this a couple times on the show, but it's important that you try to make it there. Riverfront Park. It's going to be 10 a.m. Bunch of people are going to be down there that have already confirmed, but it's going to be a time of prayer and worship, celebrating the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And celebrating not just life, but celebrating liberty and celebrating happiness. So at the Clock Tower in Riverfront Park, downtown Spokane, June 18th, come join us as we rock Spokane for Jesus Christ. I want to talk quickly, too, about Pentecost. Now, a lot of people don't understand Pentecost. I'm going to try to talk through this quickly. But every feast in the spring, so we're talking in the April time frame, the Jewish calendar, it's the month of Nisan. Every spring, okay, these feasts are celebrated, but Jesus Christ fulfilled these feasts in his physical person on the literal day the feast happened. Super important to understand God's timing is perfect and it's precise. So what happened is Jesus was crucified on Passover at the very time he died. It was the time of the evening sacrifice. So it was fulfilled, literally, the Passover lamb, the covering of the blood. So and this was put over the doorpost and on the two sides of the doorpost, forming a cross, by the way. And you had to pass under, and you were covered by his blood, and then the judgment passes over. That's where Passover, the term, comes from. So Jesus Christ himself physically fulfilled this in his person on the exact day. The next day, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Christ conquering. The symbol of unleavened bread was when the Israelites came out of Egypt conquering. And Jesus went into hell with the keys of death and Hades. He released the righteous on that day and conquered hell and death. The next day was known as the Feast of First Fruits, also known in Jewish tradition as the Day of Miracles. And Jesus Christ, once again, in his physical person on the day, was resurrected from the dead as the first fruit of the promise of eternal life and fulfilling the greatest miracle. 50 days later is Pentecost. Now, this originally is a feast by the Jewish people to celebrate the law that came to Moses. The men would actually read the law. It was also called the Feast of New Wheat. Now, I want you to really key on this, Feast of New Wheat. Pentecost celebrated when Moses went up the mountain into the fire of God and received the law from God. So the law came in fire. And then as Christians, we celebrate that Holy Spirit also came. And this is physical fire, by the way, in fire on the apostles on the day, again, exact day of Pentecost. And so this weekend, we are celebrating Pentecost in the fire of God and the outpouring of Holy Spirit that is coming and is already here in many places. But it is coming in a way we have never seen in our lives, never heard of in the generations going back to the earliest apostles. We have not seen or felt anything like this. Not even since the first century AD. We're going to see an outpouring of Holy Spirit that is going to be incredible. We are, as a church right now, taking time to press into the Lord. And I would just strongly encourage you, in preparation for Pentecost coming up this Sunday, pray, fast, press into God. See what he has called you for, but just press into him so that everything else fades away and receive the fire of God on Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All right. I want to talk about the next feast very quickly. So then the next feast after that, actually, at Qumran was the Feast of New Wine. Now, this isn't in Scripture, but that's what they celebrated at Qumran. So you had the Feast of New Wheat, and they had the Feast of New Wine, which is a symbol of communion. 50 days after that, you had the Feast of New Oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what's really interesting about the Feast of New Oil. It was 2 weeks before the Feast of Trumpets, again, symbolizing an outpouring of Holy Spirit right before Messiah comes. Here's a thing that most people don't know about the harvest of olives. The tree actually had to be beaten. It had to be shaken. And that's how the olives came down, and that's how the olives are harvested. So the outpouring of Holy Spirit happens during a time of shaking, but we are not shaken. But it happens during a time of shaking. Now, 2 weeks after that is the Feast of Trumpets, which clearly, following the pattern of the other feast, Jesus will, in his physical person, fulfill the Feast of Trumpets, which, by the way, according to Jewish tradition, is the only feast that they don't know the day or the hour of the feast. And two witnesses have to say, that's the new moon, we can start the feast. That trumpet, by the way, is a war trumpet. That's the idea in Revelation, salpingos, in the Greek. It is a war trumpet. Now, following that, you have the days of awe. 10 days later, you have the Feast of Atonement or the Feast of Judgment, where Christians, it's also called the Bema Seat Judgment, we will be judged on our actions as Christians and we will receive our crowns. Now, you always receive a crown before you rule. And the next feast right after that is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Christ tabernacling. Again, this is all in his physical person on the day, tabernacling with his bride here on earth. Now, that 7-day feast is representative of the final 1,000 years that we will rule and reign physically on the earth. There are several scriptures that talk about this. I want to unconfuse a lot of people on this stuff. The early church fathers, including Papias, which is the earliest known fragment that talks specifically about this. Literally, it says, I, Papias, was taught by John the Apostle, and he taught a literal 1,000-year millennial reign. So you can't historically really can't get any more accurate than that. Go look it up for yourselves. Again, you can read it verbatim, but that's what it says. Papias was taught by John. John taught a literal 1,000-year millennial reign. The other part of this is that's very interesting is that the early church fathers believed that this 1,000-year reign was symbolized by this idea with the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's an eighth day. So there's a big argument whether the eighth day is part of the Feast of Tabernacles or separate, but this eighth day, Shemini Esteret, is the day of eternity. In other words, at the end of the 1,000 years, the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven here. A lot of people are saying we're going to be raptured out before the tribulation. That is, I believe, not scriptural. For a whole bunch of different reasons in the Greek, the word tribulation, thalipsis, it's very clear that we suffer tribulation as Christians. And a lot of the early church fathers, even the apostles, would say they were partakers with us in the tribulation. So what we're not appointed for, according to scripture, is wrath. And so if we look at it that way, then we are pre-wrath. We are taken out before the wrath of God. And this pattern is shown throughout scripture. I'm going to give you three specific examples. Number one, Noah. Noah was lifted up. He was caught up in the air, and he was. Now there's water under him, but he was caught up in the air. God's wrath swept underneath. Noah came back down to the earth. The other picture in scripture is wheat, the sifting of wheat. Wheat is lifted up into the air. God's wrath sweeps underneath. And the Psalms are very clear that the chaff is evil, being swept away by God's wrath. Swept away by God's wrath. And then the wheat comes back down to earth. And wheat is a symbol, by the way, of us. When wheat is put into good soil, it yields much fruit. That's what it's talking about, us. But then also in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says we are caught up into the air. And that Greek word for air is aero, which means the lower air we breathe. It does not mean heaven. There's a totally separate word for that in Greek. Greek is very specific. It means the lower air we breathe. And it says actually that Jesus descends from heaven and meets us in the air, the aero, the lower air we breathe, and then we're forever in his presence. So these patterns are clear throughout scripture. There's been a lot of confusion, and the early church fathers were very clear in teaching these things up until about 250 AD and then 300 AD when the Roman Empire really kind of began to accept Christianity. All right. I want to throw one more thing at you right now as far as this is concerned. I'm going to get to the intelligence briefing here in a second. But right now in the world, there is a lot happening. I want everybody to hear my voice today. You need to get prepared for what's coming. There's no more talk about it. Prepare. Actually prepare. Don't sit there and think, oh, nothing's going to happen. We've talked about this for a long time. Actually, scripture talks about that. That people will basically say, our fathers said this, nothing's going to happen. Well, we are on a trajectory right now that is very similar to the summer of 1941 prior to the full World War II breaking out. Please prepare. If you've listened to this show, you cannot say you were not warned, but prepare. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how to do that here in a second. All right, now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front coming to us from Ukraine. Russia's combat losses in Ukraine. Again, very important to understand this. Russia has lost over 115% of the tanks it deployed. In other words, they deployed and lost all of the tanks they deployed, and they had to bring more in. And that's also why they're strategically relocating forces from Syria and from South Ossetia. So strategic relocations show that Russia is very concerned and is trying to pour more in to try to win in the Donbas region. Armored personnel vehicles, 115% of what they deployed has been lost. Now, if you talk about the total number of their, as a percentage of their military, tanks, 41% of their armor destroyed. That is absolutely insane numbers. Of their total military, 25% of their armored personnel vehicles of the total military. Now, you talk about aircraft, 72, almost 73% of the helicopters that were deployed have been destroyed. 64% of the aircraft deployed, destroyed. This means, again, they're getting very desperate, and this is why I went to this, because the next thing we're going to talk about is from Open Source Intelligence. The head of U.S. Cyber Command and the director of the NSA, so General Paul Nakasone, told UK Sky News on Wednesday, quote, listen to this, "We've conducted a series of operations across the full spectrum, offensive, defensive, and information operations. This includes offensive hacking operations against Russia." Why would you admit that publicly? Unless you're trying to bait the United States and Russia both into a war. I mean, this is literally baiting Russia. And to add to that, today, the Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, said, quote, "The U.S. provided HIMARS rocket systems that are going to be provided to Ukraine as a, quote, direct provocation," end quote. It seems literally like they're trying to drag us into World War III right now. In addition to that, I want to talk about what's going on in Israel. Now, again, the timeline looks like Israel and Iran are going to mix it up here in the very near future, here in the next 2-3 months. And China still is on the timeline for September, October, invading Taiwan. Now, they've ramped up tons of operations, exercises. They're doing snap exercises. Every time a U.S. congressional delegation goes there, they're doing snap exercises about invading Taiwan. I want to start with Israel, then I'm going to move to China here really quick, because people miss something that Joe Biden said the other day, and it's critical to understanding the situation. But coming to us from Debka File, around 100 Israel warplanes simulated an anti-Iran operation over Cyprus, and the IDF division drilled beach landings at the same time in Cyprus. This was the largest exercise of the IDF in their entire history. They did it on Cyprus, and they also practiced a rapid transfer of casualties to hospitals at home. Again, this is the largest scale war game in Israel's military history and encompassed thousands of troops, including reservists. They are setting up right now for a clash with Iran. Over the last 3 weeks, an Iranian colonel was assassinated by motorcycle-borne assassins. Then, just last week, their secret Parchin nuclear site, where they test sensitive nuclear components, was hit by a suicide drone attack. The Iranians responded by listing 5 Israelis they were going to target for assassination. This is spinning up very, very quickly. And the Iranians seized some Greek vessels that they're negotiating with Greece for the return of. So you, again, have this building up and building up and building up. Now let's shift to China. Joe Biden said the United States would defend Taiwan. The White House scrambled, tried to walk it back. But there was something else he said that was not walked back. And I'm going to reiterate this here. Joe Biden said, "We will defend South Korea with nuclear weapons." And the White House did not walk that back. Follow this. China invades Taiwan. The United States takes some action. North Korea invades South Korea to tie up U.S. regional forces. United States defends with nuclear weapons, and China defends North Korea with nuclear weapons against the United States. Again, talking about the timeline here, an EMP will likely happen first and then followed within 20 minutes to 30 minutes by a full nuclear strike targeted against U.S. military infrastructure. Not going to just nuke cities. Targeted against U.S. military infrastructure. And the reason is because they want to occupy the United States. That was General Chewatian's speech, that they wanted to depopulate the U.S. by 2/3 and they want to occupy the United States. Well, if they do that, they have to leave some of the infrastructure intact. Bridges, ports, water, sewer. They've got to leave this stuff intact so their people have someplace to go. That's the next 4 months right now, the next 100 days. As we keep our eyes on this, be prepared. General Flynn said recently, move at the speed of war. I completely agree. We need to be moving as Christians at the speed of war, preparing at the speed of war. We need to be fighting in the spiritual with our prayer at the speed of war. We need to be coming together as Christians and fellowshipping at the speed of war. A lot of people don't even understand what that means. Well, I could tell you right now, this lazy, slow-moving, I got to wait for somebody else to get this done stuff has got to end. People have to move fast. And this is a way for people to move fast. Be prepared. Decentralize as much as you can. I just posted that on Facebook today. Decentralize as much as you can. In other words, have all your families be prepared. If you can grow your own garden, grow your own fruit trees, be growing that stuff right now. Plant a garden this year. Right now is about the time to be planting your garden. Snow is coming off of Mount Spokane. If you have never heard that before, that's when we know to plant here in this area, is when you see the snow coming off Mount Spokane. All right, I'm going to move next to the WHO, the World Health Organization, forced into humiliating back down on global health takeover. This coming to us from Technocracy News. As technocrats seek to take over the world, many national leaders are pushing back, notably those from the Southern Hemisphere. That's interesting. This highlights the total failure of sustainable development. And I would agree 100%. The World Health Assembly has spent the past 7 days considering Biden's 13 controversial amendments to the international health regulations, and official delegates from wealthy developed nations like Australia, the UK, and the US spoke in strong support of the amendments. Hear that. And urged other states to join them. However, 47 Afro members, this is the African states there, in Botswana actually read the statement, said they would be collectively withholding their support for reforms. So there you go. Keep pushing. They're going to wait till people go to sleep. They're going to try to push again. Keep pushing. All right. Also from the national front, just in, coming to us from Populist Press, Justice Alito blocks major ruling. So a 3-judge panel of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals decided last month that election officials should count mail ballots that were received with no dates on the envelopes, but that were received on time in the election. Well, Alito has stop that right now. Also, coming to us from the New American. This is interesting. Sussman jury forewoman suggests jurors nullified obvious guilty verdict. In other words, the acquittal of Michael Sussman on a charge of lying to the FBI appears to be a straight up case of jury nullification. So, the juror that spoke to some media after the Sussman verdict said this, quote, I don't think it should have been prosecuted, end quote. Quote, there are bigger things that affect the nation than a possible lie to the FBI, end quote. What? The source of all this points toward using government resources to go after a president-elect and a sitting president. Man. That's where we're at, though. Also, coming to us on the national front from WorldNet Daily, leftist group documents how young Democrats like the idea of assassinations. This poll they took also says many in America think a civil war is coming. So a new survey released by a far-left organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center. So now they're kind of being outed for the radical communists that they are. Documents that a lot of young Democrats actually approve of the idea of assassinating politicians. Apparently, they interviewed 1,500 adults. And younger Republican women ranked second with 40% approving the idea. Older folks, defined as those 50 and over, were not fans of assassination. 44% of young Democrat men said they agreed with the concept of assassination. So we as Christians promote peace, but we're ready to defend ourselves. It's interesting. This shows the heart right now of those that have been indoctrinated into socialism and communism. Also want to talk about something, 2,000 mules. There's a couple things here I want to give an update on, and then a real quick update on what's going on down in Prosser. But 2,000 mules, they're slated to come out with some more bombshells. It's coming to us from Gateway Pundit. Apparently, they have tied the mules now to a multinational actor and some other organizations. And Greg Phillips, the investigator as part of the whole 2,000 Mules documentary, is about to come out with more on this shortly. So stay tuned. But I love the fact that Dinesh D'Souza pushed back against the media. The media has been saying, oh, cell phone geo-tracking is inaccurate, which is just, I mean, it's asinine because you use it for your map programs to get to wherever you want to go. But Dinesh D'Souza cited Chief Justice Roberts in the 2018 Carpenter case. And here's what Justice Roberts said. When the government tracks the location of a cell phone, it achieves near perfect surveillance, as if it had attached an ankle monitor to the phone's user, end quote. So in other words, they're admitting our cell phones are tracking devices, very accurate tracking devices. So why wouldn't that be the case for the 2,000 Mules investigation and the fact that people were stuffing ballot boxes on camera in some cases, according to this documentary? Why wouldn't that apply? Why can't we ask that question? Dinesh D'Souza doing a great job there. Lastly, just want to highlight the food supply chain being hit. Tens of thousands of chickens were killed in the Wright County Egg Farm fire. This is up in Howard Lake, Minnesota. So another farm that's going to directly impact the egg market. So you're probably going to see the prices of eggs rise in addition to inflation because of this. And then also in Prosser, Washington, the grain silo down there destroyed by a fire. Again, I don't care what the cause is. These are strategically significant when now, what's it up to, 18 have been destroyed or severely damaged in the last 5 months. Something's going on here, but again, an underscore that we need to be prepared. Last but not least, on the local front, again, I'm going to reiterate, June 11th, down in Coeur d'Alene. We're going to stand with those moms that are standing against the perversion that has come into our libraries. And then June 18th, we're going to be celebrating the overturning of Roe versus Wade. We're also going to be celebrating liberty, and we're going to be celebrating happiness. We got a bunch of pastors that are going to be there. It's going to be a great time, 10 a.m. in the morning, June 18th, down at the Clock Tower in Riverfront Park in Spokane, Washington. And that is The Briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us and just sending in all the well wishes and also sending in a lot of great intelligence. Thank you for sharing that. If you want to get your family members educated with the truth, please go to @MattShea on MeWe, on Getter, I'm on Parler, Gab, and you can also, if you absolutely have to, go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. We broadcast this live, video and audio. You can also find us on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon. Share it with your friends and family. God bless you guys for all your support. Thank you so much. All right. It is my pleasure to introduce today retired Major General Paul Vallely, Stand Up America US Foundation. General Vallely has been at the forefront of warning us about what's coming, especially with the Biden administration and the pretender, for a long time. General Vallely, it's great to have you back on Patriot Radio.
I'm getting voicemail.
Okay. So right now, then, I'm going to shift quickly to a more in-depth discussion of Russia and China. And also, I'm going to talk a more in-depth discussion on preparedness. Because I told you I was going to be posting up the medical supply list, be posting up a list of spare parts for firearms, and talking about one of the fuel stabilizers that is very, very good, in my opinion. It's the best. Some people argue about this. Just get something, okay? I don't want to get in this big back and forth. Just get something. It will stabilize your fuel, because as fuel prices go up, people are going to drive less, and therefore fuel is going to sit around longer. And if that's the case, you're going to need that fuel stabilized. All right, I'm going to start with preparedness. Then I'm going to go into the in-detail stuff with Russia and China. So first, and some of this stuff you're going to hear for the first time, by the way. When I was in Ukraine, I talked to some journalists from Hong Kong. And I also talked to some journalists that were kind of like the equivalent of Newsweek for Taiwan. Very, very good people. Great people, actually. We're going to talk a little bit about all that here in a second. But let's talk preparedness. I want you to prepare right now by getting a notepad out and being prepared to take notes, okay? This is something that I've wanted to talk about for a while, and it's regarding communication. So I'm going to talk about fuel stabilizer. I'm going to talk about spare parts for firearms. I'm going to talk about medical. And then I'm also going to talk about communication. So I want you to pay attention. So I'm going to talk in that order, and we'll get to Russia and China. So first, fuel stabilizers. So PRI, P-R-I, and Stabil, S-T-A-B-I-L, are generally regarded as kind of the ones that everybody goes to. But there's a third one called Startron, T-R-O-N, Startron, that is not just a fuel stabilizer. It also refreshes old gas, and you can use it to clean an engine, everything from small engines to your car. So I really like Startron because it has a few more things it can do, and I found it to be very, very effective in small engines, like for a weed eater, a chainsaw, etc., some things that you might be using when we face what we're about to face. So Startron, I think you can buy it on Amazon. It's the cheapest place I found it. I know it's Amazon. I got it. But I think you can buy a couple gallons for $130, $150, something like that. That's what it was before. So as far as fuel stabilizers are concerned, make sure you have your fuel stabilizers in your fuel. You have some spare 5-gallon gas cans that you have already fueled up and fill. And then also make sure that your car doesn't really ever get below a quarter tank. Try to be filled up all the time, because you never know when something's going to happen. And you don't want to be in the half hour where you get a warning that, hey, there's about to be an EMP or a nuclear strike or something, and you're out of fuel. In this area, we still are sitting pretty good with fuel. Now, there was an incident in Cooley City where they didn't run out of gas, as it were. They couldn't access the gas. The gas was there, but they were out of gas in the sense that they could not pump it because of an internet problem. So which just highlights the fragility of the supply chain. You can have diesel begin to run low and gas lines again, and you can have it interrupted by a cyber attack. So just keep it to about a quarter tank or above at all times. And that's hard for some of you. I know some of you are like, you know, somebody's elbowing their wife or their husband right now. Yeah. Well, just make it a habit to start doing that now. All right. I want to talk next about firearms parts, particularly what I'm talking about is spare parts. There's so many directions you can go with this. But the bottom line is you want to get some springs. You want to get some pins. You want to make sure you have enough lubricant. When we were overseas, both times in fairly austere environments, it depends on the weather, on kind of how parts wear and the dust that gets in them and things. For example, in the desert, you had a lot more dust and it was clinging to metal parts. And because, particularly on the AR-15 platform, it's milled so tightly that any dust that gets in there can begin to cause problems. And so you got to have a lubricant that's not really attracting dust as much as it is lubricating. So a lot of people love Frog Lube. There's other silicone lubricants that are out there. But make sure you're doing that kind of thought process and that kind of research. This is the next part of it. These firearms parts. Okay, I'm going to go through a few right now. So it's important to get maybe even a parts kit, a spring kit. Typically, they will sell a spare parts kit, upper springs and then lower springs. You want to get both. Make sure that you also, as part of this, don't forget to get pins. And I want to talk about a couple pins quickly. Detent pins are lost quite frequently when you're just changing things out. So you want to get a pin set. So for example, firing pin, retaining pins for the AR-15 platform, you can get a pack of 10. It's about $6, okay? You can get a lower part spring kit for anywhere between $6 and $8. You can also get an ejector spring pack, and you want to do that. You want to get some ejector springs. You can get a 10-pack of ejector springs for, again, about $6. You also want to get a set of bolt gas rings. So these are steel rings that wear out fairly frequently. So typically those are, again, you can get a pack of 9 of them, I think, again, for like $6, $7. You want to get, just take a look online. They have some like essential repair parts kits and various websites, but you want to get an essential repair part kit because that'll have other bigger parts that may wear out later. Those are usually about $14, $15. I mean, they're really nothing. You want to get a parts kit for your bolt carrier group. That's another, you know, $18 or so right there. And then again, I mentioned these detent pins. You know, you want to get a 10-pack of those with, and this is key, the detent spring. So you don't want to just get the detent pin. You want to get the detent spring. And also, you want to make sure you get an extra firing pin. And make sure as part of that essential repair part kit that it has an extractor with it. You want to have at least one spare extractor just in case something happens. You can make sure to switch it out. So all in all, you're talking about spending $50 to $80 because some of this you might already have. Those are the spare parts that you should really look at getting here in the near future. Okay. Some people will add one more part into it. This is a little more expensive, but it is a spare gas tube. My experience in combat and also just in kind of even the basic garrison stuff, like in Kuwait, just traveling back and forth, you never really needed a spare gas tube. If you kept your rifle clean, I never really ran into folks that had problems with the gas tube. It's probably a good idea to have an extra one on hand, but if you got to make a choice, I would put that one at the bottom of your list. Now, some people might argue with me on that. I'm just telling you my experience, and people that fire those things, fire AR-15s a lot, typically are not having a gas tube problem if they're keeping everything clean and lubricated. All right, we're going to talk next about medical. Now, medical, again, you've got to think about what you could normally use on maybe even a hike or you use with your family for a normal, you know, just outing to go camping or something like that versus what would you be using if things got kind of bad, if they tried to turn the United States into Ukraine. God forbid, and we rebuke that in Jesus' name. So I'm going to kind of split this up into two separate parts. So the first part is kind of like, what would you normally have on hand for, you know, your family regularly? Just you're going to camping or doing whatever. These are things you could use across the board for just normal travel, okay? The first is you should have a first aid cabinet, okay? You can typically buy these at Costco pre-stocked. Have a first aid cabinet. You can also buy them on Amazon. They're very, very cheap. Make sure you have something that can just take care of the normal first aid injuries, but it's more than just a few. It's if you had maybe a dozen to two dozen injuries, you could actually treat those. Basic cuts, scrapes, etc. The next is I would make sure you have some sort of dental emergency kit. Now, there actually used to be, it's called the Dental Kit for Travelers. And I went to it recently and the web link appeared to be broken. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. But you can also buy a kit, actually two kits on Amazon. And you want to look for a kit that is an emergency kit for a filling that falls out or for a cracked tooth. That's about $5 to $7. And then you want to have an actual dental emergency kit. The one that I know of there is by Magellan. So you can look for the Magellan Travelers Dental Kit and then add that other filling cracked tooth kit to it. And again, you're not looking for a lot of money. It's about $20. But having a dental repair kit, I found, is very, very important because it always seems to happen in a place where it's the worst, right? And you can't really get back in as quickly. Okay, I want to talk about something called a SAM splint. Now, one of the best websites for this is Rescue Essentials that I've found. They have a SAM splint combo kit on there. It has a whole bunch of different sized SAM splints that are everything from a finger or from a broken arm or from a broken or for a broken leg. And these SAM splints are basically, it's metal encoded by a foam and it wraps around you, okay, your arm or your finger, and then it's held in place. So you don't have to have a makeshift splint using sticks or something from the woods. It's very light as well, and you can carry these things pretty much anywhere. So check out the SAM splint, again, to have in any sort of a kit. Now, the other one that I'm going to shift gears into kind of more of a, hey, if there's a situation where some traumatic injuries might be expected, this might be what you add to it. And I'm going to put the whole list out because there's a lot more to it than this. I'm just highlighting. But you want to have in every kit a tourniquet. Tourniquets have saved more lives, and the more that's coming out with medical knowledge right now, tourniquets and the use of tourniquets are actually being advocated more prolifically than they were when I first went in the military. We said, you know, only use a tourniquet if you have to. Now they're saying use a tourniquet when in doubt. So there are a couple of kinds of tourniquets. One is more of a cat. It's called a cat tourniquet. It's a little bit narrower, and it actually causes more damage because it's narrower. But you can do it with one hand. There's another tourniquet that's maybe $10-$12. It's called the SWAT T tourniquet. That can stop blood flow in your thigh. Okay, so it can stop the femoral artery bleed in your thigh. It's extremely effective. But some people find it not advantageous because it's very difficult to put on with one hand. You can do it, but it takes some practice and some training. But it's very difficult to do that. Also, in your kit, you should have a triangular bandage and also Celox gauze, C-E-L-O-X. I strongly recommend Celox because it doesn't heat up in the wound like some other brands do. And I recommend getting the gauze where the Celox is impregnated. That way it's not being splashed all over the place. And you can wrap it into the shape of the wound because it's gauze. So Celox gauze, usually they sell at about 10 foot by 3-inch. Pack, so you can just keep that, and it really is flexible for any injury. And then also the last thing I'll mention as far as medical items are concerned is a 6-inch Israeli bandage. It's important that you look at the labels for Israeli bandages. There are two different kinds. One has only the 6-inch pad and that's it. The other has a sliding pad with it. So if you have a gunshot wound and you have this 6-inch Israeli bandage with a sliding pad, you can actually move it around to the exit wound as well, the sliding pad portion. So you have a pad on both sides. And then when you wrap it and then cinch it down, it puts pressure on both wounds at one time, which is extremely advantageous. So I strongly urge you, look for an Israeli bandage with the sliding pad. It's particularly good for the treatment of gunshot wounds. And then lastly, one of the things I use in the military quite frequently, actually, more frequently than I thought I would, was petrolatum gauze. So it's called petrolatum gauze. In other words, it's gauze that has Vaseline already on it. You can get packages of 10 very, very cheaply. Have some of that in your kit. We use that as a base gauze for every wound we treated. The reason for that was so that the gauze didn't stick to the wound, and when you took it off later, it became a huge new wound because you're literally pulling the healing off of it, all the coagulation and some of the scabbing, you're pulling it off of it. This, when you take it off, the petrolatum gauze just comes off and the wound is still there and sealed, by the way. So petrolatum gauze also is used to treat burns. I just found it very effective. We used it a lot more frequently in the military than I really believe we would. All right. Last thing that I'll mention on this. It is very important if you have any kind of medical condition, medication, you start looking at how can you have a few months on hand just in case the supply chain gets cut for medicine. Now, we rely on China for a lot of medicine. I've talked about it on the show before. But if you've got a medical condition where it's medicine you have to take, and I'm not talking about medicine you take because it's convenient to take it. I'm talking medicine you absolutely have to take for your health. See and talk to your doctor about seeing if you can store up a little bit of that to have on hand in case the supply chain is cut. This is very important, especially for folks with diabetes. Okay, because insulin is hit in war zones. The supply chain always seems to be cut regarding insulin. It's happening in Ukraine right now. Actually happened to a family member of mine, could not get insulin and literally had to evacuate, not under the best circumstances, because they had to go find medicine. So try not to be in that position by looking ahead at medicine. All right, I'm going to shift to one more thing before communication. And I just thought about this because I just got the story in. So the Russians bombed the salt factory in Ukraine. So now there's a shortage of salt in Ukraine. Now, salt is used, and I'm talking about non-iodized salt. That's really important, non-iodized salt, because non-iodized salt is what you use to preserve meat, preserve fish. So they hit the salt factory. Now there's a shortage of salt. So some people stock up on salt ahead of time and very wise to do so. Again, if the supply chain's hit, salt becomes a very important commodity because it's not easily accessible for a lot of people. We just don't have salt mines laying everywhere. Now, if you're closer to Salt Lake City, maybe you would. But for most people, they don't. So it's important to have salt on hand in a crisis. And we're seeing this play out right now in the war over there in Ukraine where the Russians took out the salt factory. And they did that intentionally because it makes it much harder to preserve food and it further degrades the supply chain. All right, let's talk communication. Now, everybody's got something to say about communication. Here's what I would recommend. If you can't afford a certain type of radio, a Baofeng is okay. Okay, but have something that you can monitor. And a Baofeng is a very inexpensive way to go. typically the smaller wattage Baofengs run about $32 each, $64 for the bigger ones, the 8 watts. I have some ideas on maybe some antenna modifications that you can do with them that help. But the bottom line is, just to make it super simple, just try to get a 14.5-inch whip antenna for it. There's a whole bunch of people that make them. I personally like to get the Expert Power antennas. They seem to last a little bit longer, seem to be tuned right. So try to get a longer antenna as part of this, usually about $15, not too expensive. And then lastly, get a J-pole antenna. You can find these on eBay. They have a deluxe roll-up J-pole antenna. And pay attention to this. You're going to need to take a note on this. It's a 2-meter, 70-centimeter J-pole antenna for the Baofeng. What you could do with that is you can carry it with you. It's very light. It's about that big. For those of you listening on the radio right now, I'm talking about 6 inches in diameter rolled up, or even smaller if you're good with that, maybe 4 inches in diameter rolled up. And you can carry it, put it in your pack. It's very light. You can run it up a tree, and it will give you a massively extended range. So Baofeng is very good. J-pole is a very good way to go. Now, here's the caveat. They are not secure. So anything you say over that, and Antifa has been caught monitoring ham radio frequencies, just expect that what you're saying over there is wide open and it's being listened to. There is another platform that I recommend, and I'm talking for local communications, not high-frequency communications. And if you get a chance, you can check this out. It's called the Anytone 578 or the Anytone 878. These radios are fantastic. There's a whole discussion on this, but the handheld radio, though, is far more expensive than the Baofeng. It's about $200. But it's also far more reliable. The battery lasts longer, and it has the option of true digital communication so that you could, if you are ham licensed, you can do some things like send emails and do some other things. You got to learn how to do that. But you could send digital communications like text messages over it as well. But again, you have to be licensed as a ham operator, which brings me to my final point on preparedness for this. If you are not licensed as a ham, you need to get licensed as a ham operator. The more, the merrier. It takes a little bit of study, a couple hours a night for a couple weeks, and then you can take the test and be fully licensed. But I strongly urge you guys to do that. All right, I'm going to shift now to China and Russia and kind of an in-depth analysis as part of this. I'm going to keep this super simple. China's economy, again, is headed down. There are over 300 million Christians in China, and that number appears to be growing rapidly. You have a Uyghur population in the west of China, Turkic-speaking Muslim Chinese, who are in massive labor camps over there. You have the Chinese right now who have locked down ports and possibly, I don't know this for sure, I'm just kind of speculating on this part, possibly we're maybe diverting their supplies under the guise of a COVID lockdown preparing for war. But the fact of the matter is the Chinese have to do something. And they have a huge population of firstborn males. A lot of these males are effeminate. There was a video in particular after a firefight with the Indian Army up there on the actual line of control between India and China. Where they were going back in a bus and they were crying, and this video was put out on the internet. So the Chinese government has gone forward on a campaign to man up their military, which is very interesting because right now, even the Marine Corps is getting hit with the wokeness. And what they're trying to do is feminize the American military to make it weaker as this approaches. Now, that might offend some people, but here's the thing. Militaries are supposed to be masculine. Men are supposed to be fighting to protect the place where life is nurtured. It's the whole point. Now, some people might think that's old-fashioned. I don't care. That's history, and that's just the way it is. The fact is right now, though, the Chinese are in a very interesting situation. Economically, with their food resources, they don't have a ton of food. And typically, according to Eastern mindset, they will fight toward their food. They will fight toward their supply chains. Whereas in the West, we carry our supply chains behind our armies. They will fight toward them. A lot of people don't know that. So the Chinese right now have every reason to invade Taiwan. Economically, just from a demographic standpoint, they have every reason to invade from a cultural and historic standpoint. So again, stand by on that. Let's go to Russia next. Intel came out, it was an intelligence report, was leaked apparently to Newsweek, that Putin did receive cancer treatment in April. So, and you can find that online right now. If that's the case, then Putin, if he thinks he is the reiteration of the Roman Empire, which if you go and talk to people, and they say this openly on the streets of Moscow, they believe they are the third Rome, the Eastern Roman Empire. They're defending the Eastern Roman Empire. They refer to themselves that way. They talk that way. And we don't understand that as Americans. If Putin really is that sick, and he really does believe he's a defender of the Eastern Roman Empire, then this explains why he would throw everything he possibly can into what's going on in Ukraine. And it also tells us that we need to make sure that we understand our adversaries, but also that we don't get baited, and we don't bait people into World War III, which is clearly what the globalists want to do. Well, that was a lot for Patriot Radio today. God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Thanks for joining me. Keep up the fight.